Morning again. Today is our second last Sunday in the letter to the Philippians, and I hope you've enjoyed our time thus far. I'm excited about looking together at this passage together this morning. So let's pray as we begin. Well, Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. As you work in us now, through your word, by your spirit. Amen. When do you feel most content in life? Well, because you asked, for me, it's just after Christmas lunch, when my stomach is full and the family are all sitting down in the living room together. The kids are playing with their new toys and the adults are chatting. That's my cue to sink into my lazy boy and take a snooze. Maybe you feel most content when you're walking along the foreshore with your spouse. You've just had a coffee and now you're holding hands looking out at the sea. Neither of you needs to say a word, but you both feel it. You're content. Or perhaps you feel most content after a long day spent pulling out weeds, cutting back branches and making the lawn look respectable. After a hard day's work with everything looking neat and tidy, you feel satisfied and at peace. You might say content. At times like these, contentment isn't hard. In fact, when life's circumstances are breezy, contentment comes easy. It's when our circumstances change, however, that contentment becomes more of a struggle. It may even feel unattainable. For instance, it's very hard to feel content on Christmas Day when one of your adult children has stopped talking to you for some reason and therefore won't be bringing the grandkids over this year. It's hard to be content when you have to walk the foreshore by yourself with no hand to hold. It can be extremely difficult to be content when you have to watch your beloved garden become overgrown because you're physically unable to tame it back anymore. When circumstances are easy, when life is predictable and straightforward, contentment comes easy. But when life throws a curveball, when the ground falls out from underneath our feet, when our circumstances suddenly change, making life different to what it once was, contentment comes much harder. It may at times even feel impossible. The Apostle Paul had to contend with a lot of change throughout his life. Whenever he and his co-workers entered a new town or village, he wouldn't know where he was staying, how he would be received, let alone how he would sustain himself and his ministry. When he wasn't able to support himself with his hands, Paul relied on the generosity of other believers to support his needs. Fellow believers like the church in Philippi. But even this could sometimes change. Though the Philippians had historically been big supporters of Paul, verse 15 tells us that in the past they were the only church in all of Macedonia to enter into partnership with him. In recent years, their support had waned. The money had stopped coming. Upon hearing of Paul's imprisonment, however, the Philippian church had revived their concern for Paul, raising funds for their imprisoned friend and sending one of their own, a man by the name of Epaphroditus, all the way to Rome with the raised funds. This is why Paul says in verse 10 of today's passage, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now, it's unlikely that the Philippians had stopped caring about Paul and his well-being. They loved Paul, after all, and had supported the apostle in the past. It's more likely the case that the church simply didn't know he was in need, let alone in prison. And so as soon as the Philippians heard about Paul's plight, they stepped in to help. As grateful as Paul was for their revived support, the apostle wants the Philippians to know that he would be okay without it. See, in the years since he last received their help, the apostle had discovered a secret. Learning this secret had enabled him to remain content amidst life's changes, satisfied even when the Philippians weren't able to support him financially. Now, Paul isn't precious about keeping the secret all to himself either. He wants every believer, he wants you, to know it too. Verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Whether I'm in prison, whether I'm free, says Paul, whether there's checks in the mail or no mail at all, I'm content, I'm satisfied, I'm at peace within. Okay, what's the secret, Paul? How have you become content in all of life's circumstances and changes? How do we become like you, Paul, content in whatever circumstances we face? Well, before we consider Paul's how-to, let's consider some other advice which was available at the time. So around the time that Paul was writing to the Philippians, there was a popular school of philosophers known as the Stoics, who actually wrote a lot about the importance of contentment and also how to attain it. One of the most well-known Stoic philosophers was Seneca the Younger, whose life actually overlapped with the Apostle Paul's. In one of his treatises, Seneca wrote, "True happiness is to enjoy the present without anxious dependence upon the future, not to amuse ourselves with either hopes or fears, but to rest satisfied with what we have, which is sufficient. For he that is so wants nothing." To be content, according to Seneca and his ilk, meant to live above need and abundance in such a way as to be self-sufficient and not to need others. The greatest blessings of mankind, wrote Seneca, are within us and within our reach. According to the Stoics, you became content by becoming entirely self-sufficient, by relying on what was within you and not on anyone else. Well, this may have been what Paul's contemporaries believed and taught. It clearly isn't what Paul believed himself. In fact, self-sufficient would probably be the last term Paul would use to describe himself. At various points in his letters, Paul actually describes himself as weak, needy, and insufficient. Nevertheless, Paul was content. He was satisfied and at ease. How so? Well, reading again from verse 11, it says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low," that's how to live in humble circumstances, "and I know how to abound. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. What's the secret? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, verse 13 is a Sunday school favorite. We must be careful, though, not to interpret Paul's words superficially. When Paul says that he can do all things, he's not saying that he can run a mile in a minute or jump over the moon with God's help. Rather, he's saying that he can endure all of life's circumstances through God's help. He can endure persecutions, shipwrecks, betrayals, abandonment, imprisonment. He can survive both humbling circumstances as well as fruitful seasons because he's learnt a secret. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, this is where Paul differed with the Stoic philosophers of his day. Remember, the Stoics believed contentment came through learning to be self-sufficient. Don't depend on your circumstances, don't depend on other people, just depend upon yourselves, they taught. Paul, on the other hand, had come to learn that contentment, that inner peace and that satisfaction in life is experienced through Christ dependency, not independency. Notice that Paul doesn't say, I can do all things through my own strength. I can only do all things through him who strengthens me. The implication being is that Paul can't do anything by himself. He is weak. See, the secret to contentment is knowing that God is with you and will enable you to endure all things. To be content, therefore, is to experience that inner peace which comes through trusting Christ's power, providence, and provision. I think King David offers us a beautiful description of what contentment looks like in Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Like a child at her mother's breast, the content believer has come to trust in God's providential provision in all circumstances. Now, some of you might be thinking, ah, yes, I'd like a bit more of that myself, please. I'd like to be content no matter life's circumstances. I'd like to remain stable through life's ups and downs. How do I get that? Well, sadly, this kind of change is not like an iPhone update. You don't simply wake up one morning and find yourself more content. Contentment, that inner peace which comes through trusting Christ's power, his providence and provision, is not something you gain overnight. Like anything in the Christian life, it's a process. Notice how Paul describes the process. Verse 11, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Once more, verse 12, I have learned the secret of placing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Contentment, the inner peace which comes through trusting Christ's power, his providence and provision, is something that Paul had to learn for himself. It wasn't something he was born with. Or to put it another way, it was something God had to teach Paul over a lifetime. And therefore, when Paul goes on to say in verse 18, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus," the apostle is speaking here from personal experience. In every situation, God has supplied his every need through the riches of Christ Jesus. The fact that contentment is a process makes total sense when you think about it. For contentment, that inner peace, it comes as a result of learning that you can trust Christ in all circumstances. And we learn we can trust Christ only when life throws us a curveball, when the ground falls out from underneath our feet, when our circumstances suddenly change, making life different to what it was. If you're struggling with contentment right now, know that the struggle is more than likely a sign that Christ is trying to teach you something. He is trying to change you by his grace because he wants you to not only learn the secret, but to believe it. That through all life's circumstances, he is constant and he will supply for your needs out of his riches. It was a beautiful summer's day, and the water on Chesapeake Bay looked delightful. So delightful, in fact, it was hard to resist diving straight in. A popular swimming spot was alive with activity. The joyful shrieks of excitable kids echoed across the bay. The smell of sunscreen and barbecue filled the air. Joni Erickson and her sister Mary were amongst it all, having the time of their lives. When all of a sudden, something terrible and unexpected happened. Diving into the water from a raft floating just offshore, 17-year-old Joni misjudged the water's depth. The diving accident left the young girl paralyzed for life. All of a sudden, in an instant, Joni's life was vastly different. Simple everyday tasks like brushing her teeth and feeding herself became exhausting trials. Mobility posed a constant challenge for the teenager, with doorways proving to be too narrow for a wheelchair and bathroom basins beyond her reach. There was also the constant pain, which came as a result of her accident. Some nights, Joni would just lie awake in agony, staring at the ceiling, wishing she were dead, wishing her circumstances were different. This year marks 57 years since that fateful summer's day when Joni and her sister went swimming at Chesapeake Bay. Nevertheless, despite all the challenges, Joni has endured. Indeed, she has flourished. How? My secret, says Joni, was learning to lean on Jesus and say, "Help me." Now, Joni would be the first to tell you that this is far from easy. In an article she wrote earlier this year, the 76-year-old had these words to say: "Don't let anyone tell you that contentment is easy. Real satisfaction with God's purposes and plans comes through making tough choices, leaning hard into Jesus and not away from him, believing God and not your feelings. All this doesn't come naturally." Do you know what's remarkable, though? Joni says she's content. Because God has given her the strength to be content, to rest in his providence and to be at peace with his purposes. Indeed, over 6 decades, she has found that she can endure all things, whether that be depression, pain, or paralysis. Not because she's strong in and of herself. Joni struggles to feed herself without assistance nowadays. But because Jesus delivers on his promise, he gives strength to the needy. Now, if Jesus is able to do this for Joni, if Jesus was able to do this for Paul, why do you think you're the exception? Do you honestly think that the same Christ who granted contentment to Paul in his cell and to Joni in her wheelchair can't do the same for you in your circumstances? As hard as it may seem today, you can live life as a widow or a widower by his strength. You will be able to endure a debilitating disease by his power. You will be able to preserve and persevere through seasons of depression and despair by his strength. You will be okay if you lose your job, if you can't make loan repayments, if your marriage breaks down unexpectedly, because Jesus Christ will give you the strength to endure. In fact, I know some of your life stories. I know that you are living proof of how Jesus enables us to do all things, to face all things, to endure all things by a strength we could never muster up within. It may take some of us having to face these circumstances ourselves for us to learn the secret that Paul had come to understand, the secret that Joni and countless other believers throughout the ages have come to experience themselves, that we truly can do all things through Christ who gives his strength and who supplies every need of ours out of the abundance of his riches. Amen. Let's pray. Grant us faith, Heavenly Father, to believe in the promises of your Son, to lean on Christ in all things and not upon ourselves. Help us not only to know the secret, but to believe it and to live it, that we truly can do all things through him who gives us the strength that we do not possess ourselves. Amen. Well, we're going to close today's service by singing All Will Be Well. So I'll invite